This is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. A new film called Libertopia offers a personal portrait of a movement called the Free State Project. The project was founded 10 years ago. It aimed to convince 20,000 libertarian-minded Americans to move to one state and make an impact on that state's culture and politics. In 2003, New Hampshire was chosen, and since then, almost 900 Free Staters have moved here. The film profiles several of them, a man who walks from Oregon to New Hampshire to settle here and become part of the Free State movement, a recent high school graduate from California who leaves a close circle of friends and family to make a life here and run for public office, and a young man who grew up in West Virginia who says he'd been seeking a state where he could make a difference.
I never really thought about moving to New Hampshire until I did hear about the Free State Project. I'm very happy when people move in, especially if they're willing to move in, get involved, meet their neighbors, learn their way around, embrace New Hampshire the way I have and the way most Free Staters do, and think of it as their home and somewhere they're going to grow old and die.
Today in The Exchange, the Free State Project and where it is now. We'll find out who came here because of it, also what effect this movement's had on New Hampshire politics. Let's hear from you, too. Do you see the Free State Project having an impact, either on New Hampshire or on your town? Do you think overall it's been a positive or negative for our state? And if you're a Free Stater yourself, how much has New Hampshire lived up to your expectations? Give us a call, the Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. With me in the studio, Carla Garrick, president of the Free State Project. She moved here from New York City several years ago as part of the project. She lives in West Lebanon today. Carla, nice to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us by phone is Christina Heller, independent filmmaker who directed the movie that we're talking about, Libertopia. Christina lives in Southern California. And Christina, also, thank you for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, and Carla, I want to start with you since you're really part of this story. What do you think? Is New Hampshire Libertopia? Did it meet your expectations?
It certainly is getting there. Yeah, I'm very excited. You know, the movement's been around for 10 years, and sometimes people will say, well, is it happening as fast as you would like? And it really, I think, is getting to the tipping point. I think there are various factors that sort of weigh in on that. I think economically, things have changed significantly from 2008. And I think that's sort of given us some momentum. I think the Ron Paul campaign has also helped to give us some momentum. And so I'm feeling really optimistic.
What was it like when you got here? I mean, again, you came here as part of the project. You expected it to be, again, to borrow Christina's word, Libertopia. Was it Libertopia?
I mean, New Hampshire always rates as one of the best places in America to live. I read a report this morning that said Manchester is the second happiest city in America. Various reports, McCartus report, says it's the freest place. So as compared to someplace like Manhattan, which is where I moved from, it is more libertopian than a place like New York. Is it quite where I want it to be? Not yet, but we're working on that.
And in what ways is it not? In what ways would you say New Hampshire is definitely not libertopia?
I think that, you know, the fact that we still have so many victimless crimes that people are being put in jail for is something that is very close to my heart. And so that would be something like marijuana laws where, you know, states like Massachusetts have decriminalized it. It just, to me, does not make sense to take people and to put them in jail. If they want to do something with their body, they should be free to do it. So that would be an example.
Well, and Christina, to you, how did this film affect you? I mean, did you go into this thinking, okay, I'm an independent, neutral observer and change your mind? What do you think?
Well, I do think that we were independent when we were making the film because, you know, for example, in the beginning, we decided we weren't going to take donations from members of the Free State Project to make the film because we decided, you know, we wanted to be able to craft the film in the most fair and honest way that we could. But along the way, you know, when I came in, I wasn't really a libertarian, although part of the reason that I made the movie with my partner was that, you know, I was very intrigued by the movement and the ideals of libertarianism. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. And, you know, I don't know that much about it. I can only imagine that other people don't know that much about it either. And the more we got into it, the more I was sort of impressed by the character of the people in the Free State Project and also by some of the, you know, the ideals of libertarianism.
So you started to identify with the people that the film profiles.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to, like, argue after a long time. I feel like a lot of the stuff just makes a lot of sense, and they have a lot of facts to back it up. And I was a political science major, so it's not like, you know, I have no clue what I'm talking about. But the more you talk, the more you discuss, you know, there's a lot of really solid points behind, you know, a lot of the arguments that they're making.
Well, and Christine, I have to ask you this. Why make the film now? I mean, 10 years after the Free State Project got started, 7 or 8 years after New Hampshire was chosen. Why now?
Well, it just so happened that that was when I was living in New Hampshire. You know, I wasn't there 10 years ago. So,
I see.
You know, I lived in New Hampshire for 2 years around from 2007 to 2009. And I was doing some short documentaries for Current TV during the primary season. And then that was how I stumbled upon the Free State Project and did a short documentary about them for Current for the primaries. And then afterwards realized that there was just so much more going on than I realized within this project. And also, you know, as far as feature documentaries go, you know, you're always looking for a journey story. And what could be more of a journey than people moving from all the way across the country to a brand new state for this, like, political dream?
Well, and including the gentleman who you profiled who walked from Oregon to New Hampshire. So
I know,
that's quite
wild.
The journey. You know, one last question for you on this, Christina. I asked Carla if New Hampshire was the libertopia that she expected. What about the people in your film? What were they expecting when they got here in terms of New Hampshire being libertopia, and were their expectations met?
Well, I mean, I think that I guess probably it depends on who, you know, what you expect to get out of it. You know, three very different people. Matt Simon is one of our main subjects, and he is already in New Hampshire when the film starts. And he's, you know, now he's a very active member of the community. And I can't speak for him, but I would say it seems like New Hampshire is a place that he's very happy living. And, you know, Will Buchanan, the walker, he's still there and he's recruiting for the Free State Project. So I would imagine that for him, it's also, you know, fulfilling his expectations. And Andrew Carroll, the 18-year-old who we profiled in the film, who literally moved to New Hampshire the week after his 18th birthday after graduating high school, he has since gone back to California. So, you know, but that doesn't really surprise me because he's 18 when he moved here. And, you know, he's got a big life ahead of him. So, you know, whether he's just going to plant his feet in New Hampshire and stay there for the rest of his life, I don't know. But I think that it was a very worthwhile life experience for him. And I guess you're going to talk to him later, so he can probably answer that question a little better than me.
Right. We'll talk to Andrew in just a moment. And let's hear from our listeners as well. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Today in the exchange, we're looking at Libertopia, a new film which offers a personal profile of the Free State Project. Since New Hampshire was announced as the winner of the project to have 20,000 libertarian-minded people moving to the state. Almost 900 have moved here. This hour, we're looking at who they are, what effect they've had on the Granite State, and let's hear from you. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Do you see the Free State Project as having an impact, either on our state as a whole or on your town in particular? Overall, do you think it's been a positive or a negative for New Hampshire? Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email is exchange at nhpr.org. And Carla, so 7 or 8 years into the first people coming into New Hampshire on the Free State Project, how much of an impact do you think the Free State Project has had on New Hampshire politics?
You know, I think it's becoming more significant. One of the things I should probably clarify is the way it works is we have a statement of intent that says if we get 20,000 people who sign the statement of intent, then people have 5 years to move to New Hampshire. The 900 to 1,000 people who have already moved were sort of antsy. They were just saying, you know what, we're not going to wait. We think this is a great idea. We think this is actually something that will work on the ground and will allow us to achieve liberty in our lifetime. So a bunch of us just, you know, upped and moved. So we kind of call ourselves the early movers. So with that in mind, so the idea that we haven't actually even triggered the move, so we haven't gotten to the 20,000 stage yet, with the 1,000 people, we have 12 to 15 state reps who self-identify as Free Staters, who basically have been working, I would say, with sort of the GOP and the whole Tea Party, you know, sweep that happened with the last election cycle. So on the political front, I think we're making inroads. And then another sort of tenet, I guess, of what we are doing is there is a civil disobedience arm of the movement as well. And that's sort of more in the spirit of Rosa Parks or Martin Luther King. And those guys are really just trying to shine the light and to show that, you know, if they're victimless crimes, you know, no victim, no crime. And that's getting a lot of media attention as well. So
is that the effort in Keene to smoke pot on the Central Circle there go topless?
Right. The Keeniacs sometimes, you know, Their ideas of what the civil disobedience should be is, you know, not necessarily what I would want to go and defend. But I do think with something like the 420 rallies, the celebrations, which have happened all over the state. In fact, we do one every April 20th.
Now, what are those? Remind us.
Okay, so 420 is code for pot smokers, and we do a big event at the State House annually, and that grew from the first time I went was 2 years ago. We probably had 100 people. Last year, we had about 200 people. They weren't all Free Staters. I think this is one of those issues where we start to combine both what we believe philosophically with what people believe on the ground here, which is why we picked New Hampshire, because it is, you know, the live free or die state.
So those people in Keene, and this has caused a lot of headlines in my hometown. That's
sure.
Why I'm asking you about it. I just wonder, Carla, you know, how does that reflect upon the Free State Project overall? I mean, does that make some people go, you know, I kind of like the low taxes, small government message, but this is tacky, and I don't want to be associated with these folks.
You know, I mean, it's always a challenge. The shortest answer I could give and the most honest answer is freedom is messy. People aren't going to do what I want them to do. So the bottom line is, if you believe in freedom, you have to believe in other people's freedom to do dumb things. And, you know, I'm not saying it is dumb. Some of it, personally, I dislike because it makes my job a lot harder. It makes it harder to explain to people. But on the other hand, it also gets media attention. And it's hard, you know, sometimes to get the message out there because basically we have a philosophical underpinning for what we believe. And that is that it's basically do no harm. It's don't aggress against other people. And so if we...
Go ahead. It's okay, Carla.
So it's basically, it's the non-aggression principle. Maybe your listeners can go Google that if they're interested.
Okay. And I know for you, that works out in terms of feeling anti-war. So there's more to it than just drug laws.
Yes.
All right. We will talk more after a short break. And we'll check in with Andrew Carroll, who came here as a young high school graduate and moved back to California. Your calls also after a very short break.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, from PSNH, sponsor of the Girl Scouts of the Green and White Mountain Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math program for grades 4 through 8. Details at girlscoutsgwm.org. And from Canterbury Shaker Village, presenting Christmas at Canterbury December 3rd and 10th, featuring candlelight strolls, magic shows, plays, musical performances, sleigh rides, and more. More on the search for Libertopia on The Exchange on NHPR and at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show. It's the Friday News Roundup. Hampshire weather for today, partly sunny for most of the state, highs in the upper 40s. Occasional cloudiness for the North Country with a chance of passing snow showers, lows near 40 degrees. This is New Hampshire Public Radio.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. We're catching up today with the Free State Project, profiled in a new film called Libertopia.
Does everybody understand these instructions as I've explained them?
Yes, sir.
Are there any questions, comments, or wild screams of protest?
Today we're at the gun church, is what they call it. And it's all these Free Staters. They gather together every Sunday, and they come out to Ron Helwig's place, which is where we're at right now, and they shoot guns. They celebrate their Second Amendment right. And so that's what I'm here today to do. Never shot a gun before. I'm going to do it today, see how that goes.
All good?
Loud.
Somebody at the camp. Freaking out. You are freaking out, man.
That's Andrew Carroll, one of three people profiled in the film Libertopia. He decided to join the Free State Project shortly after his high school graduation. Right after his 18th birthday, he moved from California to Manchester, New Hampshire. Andrew Carroll joins us on the line now. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, in the movie, Andrew, it's clear you've got a really close circle of friends and family in California. Your parents come across as just lovely people, and that it was hard for you to leave. What was the pull of the Free State Project for you, Andrew?
The pull wasn't so much the Free State Project as it was getting involved in a democracy that I felt like was grassroots and local. I had a lot of faith in the New Hampshire government and the New Hampshire people. So I really looked forward to knocking on doors and running for office without having to have a degree, without having to have a lot of money, you know, talking to people, without having to, you know, be bought out by the media and the large newspapers and the large television companies and whatnot. So I really looked forward to living in a democracy that was genuine, which we do not have here in California. So that was the main appeal of New Hampshire for me.
Participating in that citizen legislature where you don't need buckets of money to become a member.
Precisely.
So how did it feel when you got here? How welcomed were you? Did Free State Project people, you know, meet you at the airport? Or how much did they make an effort to help you out when you got here?
Oh, Free State Project people were great. They're wonderful people. They really, most of them are very kind souls, and they really mean to do very well. It's unfortunate that sometimes that comes across in a very crude fashion, but most Free Staters, you know, speaking from personal experience, most Free Staters really do mean to do well.
You tried to get involved in politics, as you said. You ran for the state legislature as a Democrat. First of all, can you tell us why you picked Democrat? The Free Staters are often more associated with Republicans.
Yeah, well, for the reasons that I mentioned before, when I first came to New Hampshire, I always thought of myself as a Democrat. I'm an atheist. You know, I'm very socially liberal. I'm anti-war. And to me, social issues were always a little bigger than economic issues. And then even on economic issues, I don't have a problem with taxation ideologically. I don't have a problem with regulation ideologically. So these weren't things, you know, these weren't things that bothered me. When I ran for office in Keene, I actually, part of my platform was trying to pursue an income tax that we could make progressive, because I thought that property taxes were very regressive and that it was something that we needed to change. So, I mean, you know, that's not something you can hear a lot of libertarians say, that they're pursuing an income tax. But so I felt very comfortable, you know, working with Democrats.
And you tried to get elected. You didn't. What did you learn from that whole experience?
I learned a lot. It was fun. I didn't really know what I was doing, which is unfortunate. I feel like if I would have, you know, stuck around and tried it again and tried it again, that eventually I would have, you know, really gotten a hold of it and I would have gotten elected. You know, I was very new to the whole system, so I was very, you know, tried to knock on doors, but was knocking on the wrong doors all the time. Or, I mean, you know, not the wrong doors, but I just sort of was like, you know, instead of building a list of people who voted, I thought it would be more fun to just go out and knock on everyone's door in, like, a neighborhood and just, like, try to get new voters out. And that's cute, but it's kind of naive, you know. Like, it's probably not gonna work very well. So I was a big fan of just, like, well, let's knock on everyone's door, you know. It's okay. We'll just waste the door hangers. And that didn't prove very effective.
Well, and as your story continues after the film, after those closing credits, Andrew, you moved back to California. What was it that made you start to think, you know, this isn't what I expected. I think I want to go home.
Two things. I got disenfranchised with the movement as a whole and with the people within it. As much as I think they're good people, we have a problem with our political system in general, and that the kinds of people who are attracted to politics and who are passionate enough about politics to get involved are typically ideologically driven. So they're unwilling to compromise and they're unwilling to work with people that they disagree with. I mean, there's a huge selection bias in our democracy, and this is what creates most of the strife and most of the conflict that we see, in my opinion, at least. We're purposefully attracting opposites that do not want to get along. And I see, unfortunately, I see a lot of that amongst a large segment of Free Staters who just really don't seem like they want to work with people that they disagree with as much as they'd rather people that they disagree with just leave them alone and go live somewhere else. And to me, that's not a very democratic idea. So that turned me off from the Free State Project. And then the other reason I moved away was that trying to work with Democrats in Keene was just a sort of eye-opening experience for me. I felt that I was not given a chance. You know, I just felt sort of, I felt like there was a big old boys club in Keene, so to speak, or whatever the phrase is. Is that the right phrase? Yeah. Just an old boys club, you know? And I wasn't welcome because I was a young guy. And I just, a couple of them, I mean, when I had fantasies when I moved to New Hampshire of working with people and being welcomed and despite differences, you know, working together to pursue democracy because that's what was important. It wasn't important what our democracy did or what our government what the laws were, it was more important that we had this ideal of democracy and that we were participating together to create, you know, to compromise and work together in a democracy that makes sense. And I felt like the Democrats in Keene that I tried to work with, for the most part, were ideologically driven as well, and they sort of shunned me.
Well,
and I didn't feel very welcome.
There's a lot of talk these days, and we've had a lot of conversations here in our program, Andrew, about the lack of political compromise, the tough ideological corners that our politicians seem to be painting themselves into. So I think there's a lot of people listening who are familiar with what you're talking about. Just one last question for you, Andrew, if I could. How's it been living in the Golden State, which one could argue is not Libertopia? You got lots of taxes, lots of regulations there. How's it going?
It's going fine. I sort of have become disgusted with politics, so I don't really follow it anymore. And I don't pay attention to it.
Wow.
I'm staying away for a couple of years, just sort of clearing my head, trying to get my, senses back. And so California is great if you ignore the politics, you know, if you live apathetically towards politics. California is sunny. It's fantastic. I really miss New Hampshire, though. I miss the fall. I miss the snow. I miss the people. I really do love New Hampshire. I love that state a lot. I had to leave for reasons that I had to clear my head of some politics that I was just, you know, getting sick of. But if I had a choice, one day I'd like to be back there and, you know, raise a family and get back involved in the political system. I think that's something I'll pursue.
Well, Andrew Carroll, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time. And I know you got up early to be with us there in California, so I really appreciate
well,
it.
Well, yeah, you usually don't get up early. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Andrew Carroll again. He's featured in the film that we're looking at today, Libertopia. As we heard, he joined the Free State Project right after high school graduation, but moved back to California this fall. Our number for you to join us here on The Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. The email exchange at nhpr.org. And Christina Heller, again, the filmmaker who directed Libertopia. What do you think about Andrew's story? Sometimes things don't work out the way you think they will, and New Hampshire didn't turn out to be the political paradise that Andrew expected.
I know. You know, I have to smile. I just love Andrew and like listening. You know, we kind of live on the same coast now, so I hope to see him again soon. You know, I just was listening to that, and I think Andrew is just a really smart kid, you know, and I always did when we were filming. I think that one of the nice things about the Free State Project is that it does attract a lot of thinkers, and so does libertarianism in general. A lot of people who are willing to kind of dig beneath the surface of party politics and get their hands dirty with, you know, some more research. And so I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm so proud of him for just continuing to explore the world around him. And it's amazing to hear him talk now because, you know, he just sounds like so mature and old. In Libertopia, he was so young, you know. So, you know, that's cool. Good. You know, I think Andrew should do whatever Andrew wants to do. And if he wants to live in California and get out of politics for a couple of years, I don't blame him. Politics can get like really, you know, frustrating. And also libertarianism, you know, the community is, they say, like herding cats.
Yep.
Because everybody is very individually minded. And so sometimes it can be frustrating to try to build, you know, this group like that. And so, I think Andrew should do whatever he wants. And I think, you know, it's great that he thinks for himself and, you know, makes decisions for himself and not others.
Well, and Carl, let me just quickly bring you into that. And Christina raised something and Andrew raised something that I did want to ask you about. I mean, I think Christina hit the nail on the head. Political parties are always diverse and noisy and messy, but boy, libertarians, it is like herding cats. I mean, you know, there's Andrew who says he's socially liberal, anti-war, but has no problem with an income tax. So I just wonder, how do you make a movement out of people who are so different in the way that they think?
It's not easy. I'm not going to lie to you. But, you know, it goes back to that whole idea of freedom is messy. And for me personally, it's an issue of trying to create a more voluntary society. So if we actually take away some of the coercion, which is just part of how the state works. You know, I read a great quote once where people were talking about how the left and the right, you know, when we have elections and it's so polarized and it's so my party is right, my party is right, it's because the stakes are so high because people suddenly think, oh, we can change this or we can change this. But if we move to more of a platform where society at large gets to decide for themselves, so where you leave it up to the individual, so you sort of take that, I can force you to do something, you should pay income tax, because I think income tax is a good idea. So if you take that off the table where you say that shouldn't even be something that we're discussing. So in the long term, how you build a movement like that is through persuasion and communicating these ideas, the ideas that we can have a more voluntary society, that we can get government out of all these things that they really have no business in being in.
And so the fact that Andrew supported an income tax, you know, let's discuss it.
Sure.
Let's not say, no, sorry, you can't be part of the Free State Project.
Right. And I mean, I did not know that about Andrew. So that was sort of a surprise for me. But, you know, I personally would not support an income tax. I mean, I think one of the great things about the state of New Hampshire is that, you know, we don't have those kinds of taxes. And there's a direct correlation between that fact and the fact that it's prosperous here.
Well, let's take some calls.
Laura,
yeah. Real quick, Christina, and then we got some calls.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say also, I think I noticed also a change in Andrew as he went through the political vetting process in Keene. I think that when he moved to New Hampshire, he was more ideologically aligned with libertarianism. But, you know, when he was asked a lot of challenging questions during his campaign, and I think that, you know, it made him really, really think about what he truly believed.
Hone his thinking. Nothing like a political campaign to do that, Christina. Let's take some calls. We actually have a caller who's joining us from Mississippi. Philip is on the air. Hi, Philip. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to call in and just give the perspective of someone who's thinking of joining the Free State Project. I haven't signed up yet, but my wife and I, we are, particularly me, she says, I'll go wherever you take me. God bless her soul. But we are thinking about it, and I hear what you were saying in the conversation. And, you know, the libertarian movement is made up of, oddly enough, of as many religious people as non-religious, and it's a very principled movement, and that's what draws me into it. It is those non-aggression principles and the idea of the Free State Project of concentrating like-minded people to help to preserve our liberty is very attractive.
So when are you coming, Philip?
Well, the wife's got to finish school. I've got to return to school and receive some new training. So who knows?
Very interesting. Well, thanks for calling in, Philip. I think that's the first time we've gotten a caller from Mississippi on the air. Carla, what do you think? I mean, there's somebody else who's coming in.
I mean, I think it's great. I think we need more people to sign. We need more people to move. We also need to be doing, and this is not really the role of the Free State Project, but for the people who have moved here. You know, one of my friends actually said, and I love the term, he was like, people like to call us Free Staters once we're, you know, even once we're here. But he was like, no, really, we're intentional Granite Staters. And I love that idea because we actually are people who are moving here who take pride in what New Hampshire is about and love the state and all of that. And so we should be doing more outreach also within our communities. I mean, there is a libertarian-minded flavor to the people in the state, and I would like to see a lot more of that happening, meetups. I mean, Ron Paul, to some extent, is making that bridge, I think, possible. I've met a lot more locals through his campaign. But yeah, more movers, more signers, more people, do it.
Well, Philip, thanks for calling in. And again, the number is 1-800-892-6477. And I got an email yesterday from someone who didn't want the name used. This person, I'll just tell you, Christina and Carla, right up front, has a lot of problems with the Free State Project.
Sure.
long email. I'm not going to read all of it, but this person says, the main point I hope is made, one way or the other on the exchange, is that the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, which was originally created about 8 years ago by the early members of the Free State Project, has since that time been raiding legislators' voting records every year. The goal has been to intimidate RINOs, Republicans in name only, and drive them out of office. They've been very successful at doing this. She goes on to disagree with the tactics that the Free State Project people have made. She says the Free State Project has influenced more than anything else, explains the many, many radical bills, many of them pro-liberty, that came forward last year, and that are coming forward this year. Again, too much here for me to go into on the air, but Carla, you first, and Christina, you know, some people say, look, this agenda is not where I am at. I mean, too loose on guns. They're uncomfortable with the marijuana. They feel like you need some level of taxation to support the poor. To people like this emailer, you guys are radical and they don't want you here.
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised. I mean, that's certainly something I hear from time to time. You know, I would start with saying that almost 60% of New Hampshire residents are not originally from the state of New Hampshire. So, you know, we are
very high in migration rate.
Yeah.
Here.
And I think that's probably indicative, although I don't have any proof of this other than my opinion. But I think that is indicative of people who choose to move here for the same reasons we do, lower taxes, all of those things. So the agenda, you know, once you actually start to crystallize some of these legislative things, it looks radical because it's a new way of looking at something. And to her point, I think, with the NHLA and the idea that intimidation, I totally disagree with that. I think that it is very important for people who are going to vote to have as much information about their candidates as possible. And I think they're doing a great service by raiding people's voting record and saying, here it is. You know, we live in such a fortunate time. We live in a time where information is almost free to disseminate because of the internet. And that's huge because that means we could do this raiding. And before you go and vote in whatever your, you know, next election, you can just go online and you can go, oh, okay, this is actually this person's voting record. So I see it as a service. And I mean, I work closely with a lot of people from the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. They're great people. They're, you know, I fundamentally disagree with that sort of concept.
Well, and Christina, to you, the people that you profiled in the film, and you talked to a lot of other people besides the three that you really focused on, where did you see them aligning themselves in terms of established party, Republican, Democrat, or did they really chart their own path politically?
Most libertarians that I meet really don't like to associate in either one of the established parties. I mean, unless they're running for a local office, in which case you have to be elected. Most people really disdain the two-party system because it's kind of inherently inconsistent. I mean, really, what does gay marriage have to do with high taxes, and what does the war on drugs have to do with low taxes? I mean, the whole Republican versus Democrat thing really doesn't make a lot of sense. And in response to that person who wrote the email, well, actually, it really wasn't the person who wrote the email. It was more like when you were suggesting, you know, some people might be turned off by the gun legislations or the marijuana, you know, regulation. You know, the opposition to, you know, criminalizing marijuana and stuff. I would just, you know, I would want people to explore that a little bit more. I mean, I think that it's like Carla was saying, like, conversation is really the most important thing when it comes to, you know, building a good society.
Okay, and Christina, I'm sorry I got to cut you off there to go to a break, but more conversation after a short break. Our number, 1-800-892-6477.
You might not realize just how many moving pieces there are in NHPR's coverage of primary night. John Forcucci, NHPR's Vice President of News and Digital Media, pulls back the curtain.
We're watching all of the returns, getting information from the camps, what's happening that we want to get on the air right away, and how do we post that information to the web and to social media.
John describes it as an army of people to keep all these pieces moving in sync for excellent coverage on January 10th. Now you know.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, from Plymouth State University, specializing in programs for today's adult students through online and evening courses with the Frost School. Details at plymouth.edu/frost. And from Vineyard Brands, importers of Pinot Noir from Chile's Connoisseur Winery, a carbon-neutral winery. Information on the web at vineyardbrands.com. This is New Hampshire Public Radio.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. A new movie, Libertopia, profiles several of the people who helped build the libertarian-oriented Free State Project here in New Hampshire. We're looking at some of the people who moved here, as shown in the film, and what effect the Free State Project has had on New Hampshire politics and culture. Let's hear from you, too. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. The email is exchange@nhpr.org. And Christina Heller, Carla Garrick, right back to our callers. Peter's waiting in Dover. Hi, Peter. Thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Well, I think the most important aspect that the listeners should know about is that this Free State project is a conspiracy. It's not a hidden conspiracy, but it's an open, it's definitely a conspiracy. And they state quite openly that they've come to New Hampshire to change New Hampshire and to basically to seize power. And they and most people who moved to New Hampshire, as I did many, many years ago, did not come here to run for political office. They came here to be part of New Hampshire way of life, or in some cases to avoid taxes in Massachusetts and so forth. But they came here for the benefits of New Hampshire. They didn't come here to run for political office. And most of the most of the Free Staters who run for office, they don't run as Free Staters, or the Libertarians don't run as Libertarians. They've run as Republicans. And so that this large bulk of the new Republican majority, they're not Republicans.
So, Peter, you don't like this project. Do you think it's had a negative impact on the state? Is that what you're saying?
It has a negative impact. If the people want to come here and live a free life, that's their right, like everybody else who's moved here. But the people who come to run for political office in order to seize political power at the local and state level, and they are doing so deceptively. They don't, when they are outed as Free Staters, they make a big stink. Oh, no, I'm not a Free State movement. And many of them have been, you can show them on video clips where they've talked about being Free Staters. Then they, when you out them, and the people who know this, they don't elect these people.
So, Peter, what do you do about it? I hear that you're upset. What do you do about it?
Well, what you do about it is you out the people who are Free Staters who are running as Republicans.
Okay, Peter, thanks for calling in. What do you think, Carla?
I actually absolutely agree with him. I think that the Free Staters who run for office should be totally open about the fact that they're Free Staters. I think we have nothing to hide. I think we should be proud of what we're doing. The only reason we run on either a Republican or a Democratic platform is because the system is so broken that you can't come in as a third-party candidate. You can't come in as a Libertarian. So I think that Free Staters should come out. I think that if we look at the language that the gentleman was using, things like, oh, we're outing you, it's a conspiracy. I think as if he's a liberal, and I'm assuming he is, then you should be thinking about that language, because really what you're saying is we are a minority that is getting picked on, and that everyone thinks it's okay to say there's something wrong with us. And there isn't. We should be proud of what we're doing. I am proud of what I'm doing. I'm dedicating my life to this. And I say, everyone out of the closet.
So do you think there have been some free staters who've tried to hide that Free State pass and sneak in the legislature, as Peter alleges?
I think because of the successes we had the last time.
In 2010?
I don't think people have been necessarily hiding it, but I think they haven't been out about it. And I think that now's the time to be out about it. And we can, you know, we can start to see, you know, are we in the right place? Do people agree with this? How do we feel about these things? I mean, all states are going to face serious economic crises. And, you know, people have to start looking to real solutions, not just lip service.
Well, and to you, Christina, again, as the filmmaker, we heard from Peter, very upset about the Free State movement. I know your film was more of a profile of the folks that made up this movement and came to New Hampshire. Did you hear or see, as you were working on this long project, reaction from other Granite Staters who said, you know, go away?
You know, actually, as you'll see in the film, two of the three main subjects in the film we follow as they move to New Hampshire. So we're literally following their pilgrimage.
Right.
There's only one person that was in the state. And so, you know, I actually didn't, I mean, it's not like I wasn't talking to a ton of native New Hampshire folks about it. I definitely did receive some, you know, negative feedback, but you also hear about positive feedback as well. And I just think that, like, lumping them together like a group is kind of creepy, you know, to be like, the Free Staters. Like, no, it's just a bunch of individuals. Some maybe you would agree with, some maybe you wouldn't, some you'd like, some you wouldn't. And I just think it's kind of weird to say, like, we need to out these people, like, in some sort of kind of collectivist thing. I don't know. I just, like, hearing that language just kind of makes me shiver a little bit.
Yeah, Carla, I take it from what you just said, you agree with
yes.
that. Let's take another call. Thanks, Peter, for that one. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Seth is calling in from Canterbury. Hi, Seth. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. So I'm a state rep, and I've been an out Free Stater since 2005 when I ran for school board in Concord. And I have to completely disagree with Peter just on the sense that if you looked at the New Hampshire House today and you looked at the people who are involved, there's a dozen Free Staters, but clearly we're not seeing votes that are a few dozen against everybody else. We're seeing the fact that native New Hampshire people who've lived here all their life, feel the same way. The votes that the NHLA collects and tabulates show that lots of people feel this way. It's not a radical change. What it is it's reflecting the native population sentiment that people should stay out of getting involved in other people's bedrooms and stay out of getting involved in their wallets. And, you know, I'm involved with the Tea Party. I'm involved with the Occupy. I don't think that there is a single left-right split here.
Yeah, among the Free Staters, you
Among the Free Staters. For instance, the repeal of gay marriage, I guarantee you when we have that fight in January, the people you hear from, in many cases, there's going to be Free Staters saying, no, absolutely not. Gay marriage is fair and equitable and balanced, and we're not going to allow it to be repealed.
What about the idea that you mentioned, I'm interested in this, Seth, that you find some sympathy both with the Tea Party and the Occupy folks? Talk about that a little bit more. That's real interesting.
Sure. I see that what's going on is with the Tea Party, the initial thrust of the Tea Party was, we're upset, the system's broken. And through the course of electoral politics, you know, they sort of identified in many cases with Republicans, and there was a Tea Party sweep that came in. And as this economy took the collapse it did, and Obama took his positions as he did, suddenly the left started saying, we're unhappy with the system, it's broken. And so essentially the Occupy is the Tea Party for the left.
Yep.
But they're both populism. This is an American tradition that goes way back. And I think what we're going to see come out of this, and you can see it with, for example, the Ron Paul campaign, pulling in people from the left because he's the only one talking anti-war.
Mm-hmm.
That American populism in this next iteration is going to be far more libertarian. It's taking place on a national level. When you look and you say, well, Ron Paul's only polling 10-15%, well, that validates the Free State Project perspective, which is there's a whole lot of us. We're just not in any one place.
And Seth, you ran as a Republican.
I did.
Right? But you freely said, I'm a Free Stater.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling in. Really interesting.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Just quick thoughts, Carla. You know, one foot in the Occupy camp and one foot in the Tea Party camp. That's a big stretch.
It is a big stretch. But, you know, there's a great example I read about in Arizona where a bunch of activists suited up, took their guns and went down to protect the Occupy. So it was basically sort of Tea Partiers who went down to protect the Occupies from the police. And they were basically saying, our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms allows you your First Amendment right to free speech. And I think that that's what we're going to see. I think to Seth's point about populism, I think that there's a great dissatisfaction amongst many, many, many Americans. And it's not a left-right paradigm anymore. I think it's a us-them paradigm.
Let's take another call, and this is Tracy in Bedford. Hi, Tracy. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling because I actually do remember listening to the original broadcast with the interview of the Free State representative who was promoting the event going on up at Twin Mountain. And what I remember is that they were choosing New Hampshire because they thought it was a place that they could make a political impact. But what really caught my attention was this. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he was saying in the interview, come up to New Hampshire, check us out, take 93, see the flume. It's beautiful up here. And I just was struck by, like, are you kidding me? That's a federally funded highway and federally funded parks. And there just seems to be a real disconnect about the real costs that are associated with democracy and allowing for individual freedom.
So you're saying, hey, come up to the state and enjoy these benefits, but a lot of those benefits are funded by tax dollars.
Exactly. And I think that is the problem I have with the free state movement, is that there seems to be not adequate understanding about the costs of society and that allow freedom.
Well, yeah. And Tracy, thanks a lot for calling. And Christina Heller, again, and your role as a filmmaker, you know, were the free staters that you talked to connecting the dots there, like the guy who walked from Oregon to New Hampshire? Okay, the roads he walked on were funded by taxes. So what do you think? Were they connecting the dots that Tracy is connecting?
I think most free staters are aware that the roads are paid for by taxes, but, you know, there aren't really any other options at the moment. I think a lot of free staters have some very creative ideas about how you could build solutions to these public issues without using, a lot of or any taxpayer dollars. I'm really, the more I get into it, the more I'm intrigued by some of their really innovative and interesting ideas. And Jason Sorens, the guy who created the Free State Project, he's an intellectual academic who has a lot of really interesting ideas about different ways that New Hampshire could go about, building solutions to public problems without taxpayer money. So I just, I think that they are realistic.
Well, and Jason Sorens is featured in your film as well. And boy, he's young. He must have gotten his professorship when he was 12.
I think he just looks young. Yeah.
Well, just real quick, Carla, before we go back to the phones.
Sure.
Jason Sorens teaches at SUNY Buffalo.
Right.
Why isn't he here? This thing was his idea.
You know, he, I mean, the short answer,
doesn't
that bug
you?
No, because I also understand
this thing.
He started it. You know, he wrote a paper 10 years ago saying, what if we tried this? One of the challenges is that life gets in the way. I mean, it is a lot to ask of people to say, up your life and move here. If you're a professor, if you're in academia, your options for jobs is pretty limited. And so I understand he has a wife, he has a family, he would like to be here, he just can't be here right now. And, he's free to make that choice.
Well, and technically he hasn't broken the vow of intent either. You know, you guys are, like you said, are technically early movers. So.
Exactly. So
vow of intent, meaning he's signed on to say he will eventually.
Yes, if we get the 20, when we get the 20,000.
Oh, I see.
5 years to move here.
So the vow of intent is 20,000 first, and then once you get those 20,000, it's going to be such a libertopia that, we'll come.
Right.
Interesting. All right, let's take one more call. This is Rich in Grafton. And Rich, as I understand, Grafton is somewhat of a libertopia, right? Lots of libertarians there.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got quite a few of them per capita, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've noticed as I drive through your town. Go ahead.
Right, but that's not what I'm calling about. I wanted to address the issue about the success of the Free State Project. There is one dynamic that doesn't get exposed enough, and that is one of the statements of Jason Sorens, one of the objectives, was that whatever we do here in New Hampshire, people throughout the country, and then hopefully by extension throughout the world, will imitate what we're doing for their own freedom. And guess what? We're already seeing that happen.
Like how so? Where do you see that?
We've got the Southeast Liberty Project in Tennessee. It's a project to get 1,000 liberty activists to move to one county in Tennessee. We've got a similar project going on in Texas. They're working on selecting a county there. You've got the Western Free State Project. Not only that, but a bunch of activists right here. We put together a website, nhjury.com, which is a juror rights outreach webpage. And guess what? There are several folks in other states who are doing something very similar. That is to say, a site specific to their own state regarding jury nullification.
And Rich, in the interest of time, I'm sorry, I got to let you go. Sorry to cut you off there, but we're running out of time. You know, Carla, quickly to you, on the intellectual level, you must be thrilled to hear about similar movements in other states. But boy, if Tennessee is also seeking libertarians, that kind of dilutes the Free State Project here in New Hampshire.
You know, it does. There is a tension between spreading ideas, which is something I feel very strongly about, spreading these ideas as far and as wide as we can. Ideas are bulletproof. We got to get those ideas out there. On the other hand,
great for
my
you.
Job, yeah. On the other hand, my job is to get people to come here. And the way I think we're going to do it is we are going to be that first beacon. And it's easy to say, oh, we're going to pick a county in Texas or we're going to do this somewhere else. on the ground, I mean, there's a reason we picked New Hampshire. There are various factors that made it appealing, both the culture, the geography. Be nice if it was a little warmer. But, you know, that sea, you know, that keeps out the riffraff. And so, you know, I applaud people who want to try this idea somewhere else. I think we're going to be successful first here. The way I sometimes explain it is we can build a sort of Yankee Hong Kong or a Yankee Switzerland, really become a beacon of freedom, start to attract a lot of businesses here, get economic growth, and just really make New Hampshire as awesome as it is.
Well, I have so many more questions for you to follow up on that, but we're running out of time. I did want to ask you, Christina, about the film. If people are interested, where should they go?
Yeah, you know, I would say first and foremost, if you want to find out about the film, just Google Libertopia or Libertopia Film. We have a website where you can sign up for the mailing list. We're really active on Facebook, so you can stay in the loop there. And on Tuesday, we'll be coming out on various digital platforms. We'll be on PlayStation, Xbox, Amazon, Cinema Now, Vudu, and then mid-month, we'll be on iTunes. So if you want to stay in the loop, just Google Libertopia and sign up for some way to keep in touch with us. And also, we do sell DVDs on our website. So if you want a copy today, you can just go on libertopiafilm.com and purchase one.
And Carla, quick thought from you.
Yes, I just wanted to say, if people want to learn more about the Free State Project, you can check out our website or come to our conference, Liberty Forum. You can find out information at freestateproject.org.
All right. Well, Carla, thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Carla Garrick, president of the Free State Project. Christina Heller, thank you also for making some time for us this morning.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Christina Heller, independent filmmaker who directed the movie Libertopia. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer today is Craig Martin. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.